months or so, Jason, I've had the great privilege of working with Jason. As he mentioned before, he's not only been in pastoral ministry for about 30 years. Yeah. In fact, we were at Bible College around about the same time together. I think we graduated even around the same time. Jason's not only been a pastor himself in a number of different places on the mainland and in Tasmania, but has also been the head of chaplaincy in the north of Tasmania, up in Launceston. And more recently, he's also, as he mentioned before, been really engaging in a ministry of writing. And I've had the great privilege of really walking with him through that. So I want to talk to him a little bit about that. There's been three projects that you've been working on. The first project involves your mother. Yeah. And a number of people here would have known about this really horrific medical, what do you really call it? Mm. Transgression incident called Chelmsford Hospital up in Sydney on the mainland. Tell us a little bit about it and the book that you've written.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Mark.
You've got a microphone.
It's been been a great blessing that your pastor has been such a help for me in my writing in very, very meaningful ways. And I thank the Lord for that. The book on my mum, she was very briefly, she experienced a very traumatic upbringing, which led to when she was married, she had a complete breakdown, She was then referred, and this is in the 60s, very early 60s, 1961, 62. And then she was referred to a psychiatrist whose name was Dr. Harold Bailey. And Dr. Bailey at the time, there's a huge backstory to him, but in short, he really is Australia's worst serial killer. So he didn't kill for pleasure, he just didn't care. So he believed he was the messiah of mental illness and that he was going to heal mental illness. And his belief, his philosophy was, mental illness isn't cured through what he would derogatively call talking therapy, which is psychology, but it's because there's physical anomalies in the brain that need to be actually fixed. So he believed that there was these different ways he could actually fix a person's brain. Basically, he was experimenting on people. And his experiments took a number of different forms. One was he would give his patients, without their knowledge, psychedelic medication. From a patient's point of view, they just think they're getting sicker and sicker and then become hallucinogenic and in a terrible position of despair. And his belief that would break down their mental defences so that then they could be helped. And many people committed suicide through that. Many, many people died through that therapy. And then he had, which I think he's most known for, is what we call DST, deep sleep therapy. So he believed that the brain was like a computer. If you gave your brain a rest, you could reset it. And his idea of giving the brain a rest was putting people into an induced coma for 6 to 8 weeks and you've got to remember this is in the 60s, so we're not talking a medical room with resuscitation and heart monitoring. We're talking just a bed. No oxygen, no suction, no nothing, and patients are put into a coma, and they're tube fed as well. It's horrendous. It was just absolutely horrendous. 24 people died while having the treatment, and many more committed suicide after the treatment because it was so destructive. So he was experimenting that, and then he was also doing psychosurgery. So he would open up the skull, go into the brain, and try to cauterize or destroy the tissue he thought was actually causing the mental illness. And my mum was one of his first patients and suffered all of that.
I mean, it's horrific in just the extreme, and yet it really, your mum's story is a story of hope.
Oh, absolutely.
About God bringing good out of evil. Can you just very quickly summarize what that looked like?
Exactly. I didn't write the book to tell the story of Chelmsford. That's not the purpose at all. I wrote the book so that people can see the power of the gospel in the midst of our suffering. Because through that, just miraculously, the Lord brought my mum to faith, healed her, and restored her in such a way that her life was forever changed. The power of the gospel on my mum's life was seen in many ways, but one of the major ways is her ability to forgive. So she didn't live as a victim. Right? She was a liberated lover. So I'll give you a quick example of that. Me and my three brothers knew nothing about my mum's past until I interviewed them 2 years ago. We didn't know about this because she wasn't defined by it. She wasn't looking back to her past and bringing it up and living as a victim. She looked at it as God's liberated her, and she lived her life serving God and forgiving and loving others. And the freedom that Christ gave her to forgive is extraordinary. That's why I wrote the book. My prayer is that it will lessen suffering, increase joy and decrease sorrow as people see the power of a gospel in the midst of darkness.
Have you got copies of
the book? I've got copies here, yeah, that's right, you can buy them.
And it's also an audio book.
Which
I think is great, because I think Jason's actually got a really great ability to tell the story and not just write the story. So if you want to get it on audio book,
it's Spotify.
Yeah, easy to find. Yeah, it's really good. Okay, second book.
Yes.
Which you're doing at the moment.
Yes.
I would say really powerful story, because it's like, it's written mostly, I think, for teenagers,
correct,
right? But it's like a cross between, if everybody's read This Present Darkness or The Screwtape Letters. It's sort of like, I feel like it's a cross section of that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that project, what it's doing and how it came about.
Yes, certainly. So I'm writing a story of what I call mostly fiction. And the reason why I'm using that genre is I think there is a depth of loneliness and anxiety and suffering that our teenagers and young adults are experiencing both within the church and outside the church. So my prayer is that this book will be an instrument in God's hand to show a vision of God's sovereignty, the power of a gospel, the reality of the spiritual realms and the hope of heaven, how those visions of God can actually help us through our suffering, through our anxieties, through our loneliness. That's the purpose of a book. So that's my prayer for the book. And I'm using the genre of fiction to try to... it tells a story of a young boy called Jack, who goes through these, from primary school into high school, terrible incidents that happened to him. And I try to tell that behind that there's a spiritual... This is, in a sense, it's fiction, but there's a measure of truth that how the spiritual realm is in, and he doesn't know it, but is engaging in that, in his suffering, and how God is turning that for his glory and Jack's good. So kind of a bit of a summary of it. Yeah.
Yeah, great. This afternoon you're going to do a Bible study for those that are interested, but just as a little bit of a foretaster too, can you briefly talk about the spiritual struggles that you've had in even producing this book?
Yeah, so most certainly. So I guess a couple of years ago, this is going to sound odd, and if somebody was telling me, I don't know what I would think about it, but I've had... it's hard to talk about. I've had visitations from demons who have tried to frighten and just suffer me at times. So at night, in all different ways, and it's been very difficult to go through that. But God has graciously, obviously, taken me through that. But it's that's one of the reasons why I'm writing the book. Because I now realise that so much behind what we go through is actually the enemy and what he seeks to do in our lives. So the presence of evil is the most horrendous thing you could ever imagine, and the presence of Christ is the most glorious thing you could ever imagine. And I feel like I've had a grain of sand of what hell is like through those demons, and I've had the ocean of Christ's presence, and I know which I'd rather... But those experiences have truly led me to write this book.
Yeah, I guess I mentioned that because I know it's a very sensitive topic.
Yeah, sorry.
I just didn't want to put you on the spot.
No, I'm happy to
mention it because it's not just a novel that, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But it's something that you have tasted firsthand.
Yeah, yes. So in the novel that I'm writing, to let you know, most of the experiences that Jack goes through are real. They're based on a real character. There is one particular part of it which is not real, right? The one area is not real, but the truth behind what happens to him is real, in the glory of the eternal things. But yeah, so it's not written simply out of fantasy, but there is with, of course, fiction surrounding the events.
Now, the final book is, I know, one, I guess, really close to your heart, because I think if there's a real ministry and passion of yours is prayer.
Yeah.
And that's the book you're writing. Can you talk about why you think this would be such a helpful, and who's the intended audience of it?
Yeah, that's great. So I'm writing it in conjunction with the assistant minister of my church, Steve Nicholson. We're writing it for the congregation, for people, men, women, boys and girls in Christian congregations. And the purpose of the book is to help us to pray prayers that are governed by the scripture. So, because when we're praying through the scripture, we're praying God's will. So the book's called A Companion in Prayer. So it's a companion to have. It's over a 31-day cycle, and there'll be two prayers for each day. One prayer is called Praying With, so praying with David, praying with the sons of Korah, praying with the Apostle Paul, and the prayer has been formed through their writings. And the other prayer is praying for. So praying for our pastors, praying for our widows, praying for our children, praying for the dying. So one is praying with and one is praying for. And we're praying, our prayer in the book is that it will deepen our prayerfulness. And the reason why for that is because God is so generous, so gracious, so merciful. He's the sovereign God. And I guess my vision is and I include myself, if my prayers are more and more conforming to the wonder of Scripture, how much would that be a blessing for our churches?
Fantastic. I've got to ask you just one more, because you've developed a ministry of writing.
Yes.
For those that are interested in writing and want to write more, what encouragement would you give?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't write. I only write books out of a conviction. I don't write them because I think I want to write a book. I've never thought that. It's just that I have a conviction from the Lord that this book, my prayer is that it will be an instrument to build up the church. So purpose in writing is very important. It's not to make money or to be commercial. The purpose, that's the first thing. You've got to have a purpose, and I think for me it's from God, to serve the church in some measure. Okay. That's number one. Number two, I think the most important thing is humility. You have to recognise that you can't be all things to all people and you need a lot of help in your writing. And what you might think is just a killer phrase is absolutely rubbish. And you need people to tell you that. So you need humility and to recognise that a book project can't be done on your own. You need help. And that's where Mark has been a great help for me. He's been wonderful. And then I guess this is probably just an observation. It may not be helpful. But what I've learned, I think just as important as what you put in a book is what you leave out. Because you can't say everything about all things and you've got to be careful. So they're the three things.
Fantastic. We're going to pray with you.
Thank you.
We'll pray for you. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity this weekend to get away. It's already been a rich feast, Lord, of fellowship and of being fed by you on your word. Father, we worship you and we love you. We thank you for sending your son to die for us. We thank you for servants such as Jason, for gifting him to preach your word faithfully. Lord, we thank you for this new ministry that you've opened up for him in writing. We praise you and we marvel at your sovereign providence and how you bring good out of evil, such as what happened with his mother at Chelmsford. We thank you, Lord, for even his experience, Lord, with the demonic in the spiritual realm and for how you're redeeming that.
Amen.
And using that to bless and encourage others. And we want to pray for Jason that you will continue to put your gracious hand upon him, protect him from the evil one, and, Lord, give him discipline as he writes, give him great imagination, clarity of thought, strength in his own daily work, Lord, to keep writing, to keep producing materials that will be edifying and that will be glorifying to you. Lord, we pray for him now that as he brings us your word, you would speak through your servant. May you give him the unction of your Spirit. May he have joy as he brings your word to us. And Lord, open our hearts, soften our hearts before you. Lord, speak to us, we pray. Rebuke our prejudices, our wrong thinking, the darkness of our own sin, which we try to hide. Bring it into the light, Lord, that we might be revived and renewed. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as a church. Lord, as you walk amongst this lampstand, may you be pleased with us as a body. May we honour you in all that we do and all that we say. And Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks.